Radio Wareham. Let joy be unconfined.
It was an ancient wireless set that languished in our attic. Its dial was dim, its valves were dead, its knobs were quite rheumatic. I twiddled them and fiddled them like Grandad did in yesteryear. And then an old forgotten sound came faintly to my ear. Proudly the upright piano is playing the call sign familiar we all used to know. Over the airwaves the signal displaying there's ghosts still alive yet in the old GPO. Programs of yesteryear came flooding to my ear, voices and music from old radio. Features and fun galore, quiz shows and many more, Radio Erin from days long ago.
O'Donnell Abu, the call sign of Radio Erin, which in democratic manner was chosen by public vote, beating God Save Ireland into second place. The tune, ironically, was originally a British marching tune, but for years it epitomised the sound of Irish radio. Today, 82 years after it started, the medium wave service, which carried our signal all over Ireland, is closing down, and the RT Radio 1 service will continue on FM, longwave, digital and satellite media. This programme marks that occasion with a personal selection of Irish radio, the voices, the programmes, the people who connected with us since the whole thing began in 1926 in a small room in Little Denmark Street, Dublin, when the future president, Douglas Hyde, opened the station 2RM.
From Thomas up the loop, not really far old and daily for all, the Wilkie, New Hill 1 in the Vale, up Wilkie in the Haven.
Ceilidh music was a mainstay of 2RN, and when programmes ran short, it was handy to have a station director who could also offer the bar of a song, Seamus Clandillon. But what Dublin had, Cork wanted too, and in 1927 the Cork station 6CK opened, but not for long. It closed again 3 years later. Then in 1932, to coincide with the Eucharistic Congress that summer, a new high-powered medium-wave transmitter opened in Athlone, and the town's name was etched on radio sets all around the world, and a new breed of people were born. They were called listeners, and they heard the news from announcers like Bernadette Plunkett, reading a bulletin in 1939.
The chief items of tonight's news are British relations with Germany, French flying boat leaves Foynes, drastic measures in Bohemia, Mr. Sean Russell released on bail, annual meeting of medical union, death of Englishmen in Shanghai, statement on lost submarine, British royalty in United States, Duce entertains Spanish delegation, hillside fires in Ireland, International Labour Conference opens, sports results, and the Dublin Cattle Market Report.
We were now known as Radio Erin, and in an effort to keep in touch with the Irish in foreign lands, the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs of the time, Oscar Traynor, approved a shortwave radio service from the Athlone transmitter. It proved to be a short-lived shortwave service, and here's the announcer, Nicholas Barron, from December 1940.
Radio Erin, Aisha Radio Erin. Ireland calling. This is Ireland calling. We commence our program tonight with the Robert Emmett Cayley Octet playing three step dances. My Miss Forbes Farewell, My Love is But a Lassie Yet, and Charlie's Welcome. Following that, Agnes O'Kelly will sing two songs, The Ninepenny Fiddle and The Shortcut to the Rosses. Our news review today in Ireland will then be given, and will be followed by further musical items of which details will be given later. We shall now continue our musical program with Frank O'Higgins, a traditional fiddler, playing the Salamanca and Lady Carberry's reels, followed by Robert McCullough, tenor, who will conclude the program singing Down by the Sally Gardens and Trotting to the Fair.
Was the voice of Ireland, it was that of John McCormack there. Then we were at war, and in 1945, at the end, in one of the most listened to broadcasts in Irish radio history, the Taoiseach Eamon de Valera replied to the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who, in his victory speech on BBC Radio, castigated the Irish government on its policy of neutrality during the emergency.
This was indeed a deadly moment in our life. And if it had not been for the loyalty and friendship of Northern Ireland, we should have been forced to come to close quarters with Mr. de Valera or perish forever from the earth. However, with the restraint and poise to which I say, history will find few parallels, His Majesty's government never laid a violent hand upon them, though at times it would have been quite easy and quite natural. And we left the de Valera government to frolic with the German and later with the Japanese representatives to their heart's content.
Certain newspapers have been very persistent in looking for my answer to Mr. Churchill's recent broadcast. I know the kind of answer I am expected to make. I know the answer that first springs to the lips of every man of Irish blood who heard or read that speech, no matter in what circumstances or in what part of the world he found himself. I know the reply I would have given a quarter of a century ago. But I have deliberately decided that this is not the reply I shall make tonight. I shall strive not to be guilty of adding any fuel to the flames of hatred and passion, which, if continue to be fed, promise to burn up whatever is left by the war of decent human feeling in Europe. Allowances can be made for Mr. Churchill's statement, however unworthy, in the first flush of his victory. No such excuse can be found for me in this quieter atmosphere. There are, however, some things which it is my duty to say, some things which it is essential to say. I shall try to say them as dispassionately as I can. Mr. Churchill makes it clear that in certain circumstances he would have violated our neutrality and that he would justify his action by Britain's necessity. It seems strange to me that Mr. Churchill does not see that this, if accepted, would mean that Britain's necessity would become a moral code, and that when this necessity was sufficiently great, other people's rights were not to count. It is quite true that other great powers believe in this same code in their own regard and have behaved in accordance with it. That is precisely why we have the disastrous successions of wars. World War Number One, World War Number Two, and shall it be World War Number Three? Surely Mr. Churchill must see that if his contention be admitted in our regard, a like justification can be framed for similar acts of aggression elsewhere, and no small nation adjoining a great power could ever hope to be permitted to go its own way in peace.
Round the fire.
We must have everything ready before the boys arrive.
Yes, we mustn't make any mistakes. Halloween, like Christmas, comes but once a year. What are you doing there, Molly?
Oh, I'm getting the saucers ready.
The saucers? But it's too early to start laying the table
oh,
for tea.
How are you? These saucers are not for tea. They're to foretell our future husbands.
Our future husbands? But how, Molly?
Let me tell it to Una, Molly. You see, Una, we place these three saucers on the table about 3 foot apart.
Yes.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, one saucer contains clean water.
1946, Round the Fire, perhaps inspired by De Valera's cozy homesteads, athletic youths, and homely maidens. Then in 1947, big changes for Radio Erin. The shortwave project was on again, and to prepare for it, we got a news reporter, an outside broadcast unit, a symphony orchestra, and a light orchestra. But the shortwave service never happened. Ireland's ambitions to look outwards were thwarted when the new government cancelled it, and for good measure also threw out the Aer Lingus proposal for a transatlantic air service from Rhinanna in Shannon. As James Dillon put it in the leaden wit of Doyle Aaron,
I venture to swear that 5 years from today, when the rabbits start playing leapfrog below in Rhinanna, the masts which are to direct the radio to the United States of America will be converted into knitting machines to knit the wool off the rabbits from Rhinanna.
But what radio had, radio held. The outside broadcast unit enabled us to hear the real sound of Ireland as Seamus Ellis took to the roads to capture the authentic folk music of the country, the beginning of Radio Erin's folk music collection.
Hello, my honest neighbour. You're welcome into any old farmstead in Tipperary at any hour of the night.
Thank you very much.
I happen to be the proprietor of this house. My name is Patsy Fagan from Ballinamona. Any harm, that's your name, sir.
My name is Seamus Ennis.
Pleased to meet you, Seamus Ennis. You're quite welcome into the old-fashioned dance.
Thank you very much.
What's the name of God is that old thing you have there in your hand? The name of God is...
It's a microphone.
A microphone?
Seamus Ennis at a threshing dance in Ballinamona, County Tipperary. On the artistic front, as well as the two orchestras, we also got a company of actors, the Radio Erin Players. Auditions were held in August 1947.
Mary Mulvey. It is a curious fact that novelists have a way of making us believe that luncheon parties are invariably memorable for something very witty that was said, or for something very wise that was done. But they seldom spare a word for what was eaten.
Leo Layden, let us, sir, embrace some system or other before we end this session. Do you mean to tax America and to draw a productive revenue from thence?
Ailing heart, it is part of the novelist's convention not to mention soup and salmon and ducklings, as if soup and salmon and ducklings were of no importance whatsoever.
Joe Lynch, name, fix, ascertain this revenue. Settle its quantity, define its objects, provide for its collection, and then fight when you have something to fight for.
The other O'Mara. It is a curious fact that novelists have a way of making us believe that luncheon parties are invariably memorable for something very witty that was said, or for something very wise that was done.
Thomas Studley. If you murder, rob. If you kill, take possession. And do not appear in the character of madmen as well as assassins. Violent, vindictive, bloody and tyrannical without an object. But may better counsels guide you.
The much-loved Radio Erin Players became the highlight of Sunday night's programmes, particularly when they were joined by guest stars like Micheál MacLiamore in Dennis Johnson's The Old Lady Says No.
Shall we sit down together for a while, here on the hillside where we can look down over the city and watch the lights twinkle and wink to each other? Our city. Our willful, wicked old city. I think that I shall go to sleep here, my head on your shoulder. But I was so right to go on. Strumpet City in the sunset, suckling the bastard brats of Scot, of Englishry, of Huguenot, brave sons breaking from the womb, wild sons fleeing from their mother, willful city of savage dreamers, so old, so sick with memories. Old mother, some they say are damned, but you one day, I think, will walk the streets of paradise. Head high and unashamed. There. Now let my epitaph be written.
Radio Erin in the 1940s did sound solemn, even a little po-faced. Announcers sounded, too, as if they were auditioning for the BBC.
Here is the news. 26 people are believed to have been killed in a flying boat which crashed into the sea after leaving Hong Kong yesterday for the Portuguese colony of Macau. Only one passenger, a Chinese, of the 27 people aboard, was rescued, but search is being carried out for others whom it is hoped may still be afloat in the sea. The Pigs and Bacon Commission has issued a statement about a newspaper report to the effect that a number of Cork grocery and provision store owners were informed during the week that curers would not be able to give them their full quota.
It will be mainly cloudy with some periods locally. It will be rather cold. I take it that you read some bright periods locally, but the world's no missing. And here's the news. Reports from Bombay tonight state that some 20 persons have been killed and 100 injured in communal disturbances in the city. The stoppage of work at the Ruhr has spread to 4 coal mines in the Dortmund area, where about 4,000 miners are affected. General de Gaulle has attended a ceremony in Normandy commemorating the British-Canadian commando raid of February 1942. He said the day would come when the French people would brush aside all bad and evil organizations and replace them by a wide movement such as the resistance movement during the occupation. Mr. Dempsey, General Manager of Aer Lingus, speaking on civil aviation in Ireland at Cork tonight, said that this country, with the development of aviation, had moved into the centre of a world whose unification was being rapidly accomplished by the conquest of the air. A Jewish illegal immigrant ship with 1,600 passengers aboard was stated tonight to be approaching Haifa.
The refined tones of Sheila Nevrian and Pat Holland from 1947. But there were new voices on the way, one whose voice seemed to be made for medium wave particularly. He cut through the static like a laser beam. Micheál O'Hare.
Nick Higgins appears to be the short free taker today. Walking up now, slowly. The trap, the kick, and it's a low one. Right in towards the goal, trying to hit the goal! Hit the goal! A goal by Tony Tye.
Celebration of the Franciscans. We salute that community in particular, a community which owes so much to Father Luke Waddy. From Cove come salutations to a son in the Collegio Missionari Porta Latina, and down Wicklow Way and in Offaly, they're thinking today of a son in the American forces in Karlsruhe, Germany.
Another voice brought a welcome touch of show business to Irish radio.
And from the crowded foyer of the Theatre Royal Dublin, this is Eamon Andrews saying hello and welcome. It's quite an exciting scene in the best movie picture traditions of flash and glamour and publicity. And an effort has been made to cordon off the crowd. They're crowding outside, crowding inside. They're all pushing forward to meet these glamorous film stars who are coming in here tonight. And they're already beginning to arrive. And I wanted to have time to describe to you just what this scene looks like. We may get a chance later on, but coming in that door now is one of the first stars of Captain Boycott, Eddie McSweeney, who's handling all this and bringing him up to the microphone. I want you to meet Oh, look who it is. It's the bailiff. Would you like to meet bailiff?
Acora. Begara, it's nice to be in this fair city of yours. Yes, and I'm looking forward to the reaction of the public.
But do you know who that was? It was Mervyn Johns who plays the bailiff in Captain Boycott. Did you like playing it, Mervyn?
Oh, it was grand. The competition of my Irish and your people is terrific. They're natural actors. They remind me of the Welsh.
All right, Mervyn.
And in the first interview series on Radio Microphone Parade, Eamon Andrews interviewed the man who describes the long tiled corridor in the GPO as the longest row of lavatories in the world, the conductor John Barbarolli, appearing in 1947 at the Theatre Royal with the Halle Orchestra.
And it's been a great pleasure meeting you here, Mr. Barbarolli, and thank you for coming into us tonight.
Great pleasure always to come back to this lovely old city, which reminds me so much of the lovely Georgian Bloomsbury, alas, no more, in which I was born. So I have to come and be reborn in Merrion Square and those lovely streets around when I pay my annual visit.
The first Irishman to set foot in America was St. Brendan the Navigator, for it was he discovered America, although he kept his mouth shut about it. How long ago would that be, so, says Casey, since the first Irishman set foot in America? I can answer that too, says O'Brien, for St. Brendan was born in Feenet in the County Kerry about the year 500 AD, and he died in Annacoon in the County Galway about 580. We'll take it now that he did his navigating in his prime, say, between the years 525 and 540. Add all that up and take it from the year we're living in, and it will bring you to within a hen's kick of 1,400 years since the first Irishman set foot in America. Is that all you know, says Casey? Irish people were going to America before that. Can you prove it, says O'Brien? Oh, indeed, says Casey, I can prove it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have drawn it down. My own granduncle, Ted Flor, he was going to America after the famine in a sailing vessel they were, and they were becalmed one evening late about 200 miles out from the coast of the County Clare, so they threw out the anchor and they went to bed for the night. What did they want up for? In the morning, there was a nice breeze blowing, and they pulled in the anchor, and what was caught onto the hook of it but the wheel of a horse car? And what does that prove, says O'Brien? It proves, says Casey, that Irish people were going to America by road before the flood.
Radio Shanachie, Eamon Kelly and Sean Maguire's definitive recording of The Mason's Apron. The other new voice to come to add some cheer to a somewhat dull Sunday night was that of Joe Linane.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? We are very pleased to bring you another thrilling installment of this week's seasons of Question Times with You Know Who.
And as Radio Erin approached the 1950s, there was a certain confidence creeping into the programme array. We still only opened at lunchtime. The programmes were certainly a little on the turgid side, like breeziness was slightly rationed in Radio Erin. But the music kept on playing.
That music has been cut off, just as, in effect, it might be cut off from someone who fails to renew a wireless license. Yes, that could happen. Do you realize that it costs 2 shillings and 6 pence in administrative charges to collect each wireless license fee? And that the reason is largely because a minority of set owners will not meet their obligations promptly. In some cases, not at all. The post office does not consider that fair to the majority who never cause any difficulty. Is it worth risking a prosecution for the non-payment of a fee of a fraction over 4 pence a week? Hardly. But there have been several cases in which radios have been confiscated, and a fine of £10 or 2 months' imprisonment in default have been imposed. And 2 months' imprisonment or confiscation would cut off the music, wouldn't it? So please renew your wireless license promptly when you get your reminder, and let the music flow on.
The actor John Stevenson reading a commercial for the Department of Posts and Telegraphs. Well, now that a wireless license is no longer a requirement, please join us after the break as we approach the ending of Medium Wave at 3 o'clock today.
Imagine waking one day and speaking
a language you've never learnt.
Or ordering
steak when you're vegetarian.
Or thinking about your daughter
when you don't even have one.
Imagine feeling a strong link with someone
you don't even know.
Thanks for the Memories, the magical new bestseller by Cecilia Ahern. A modern fairy tale of two strangers invisibly linked. Cecilia Ahern casts her spell over us again. Thanks for the Memories, out now.
It's that time of year when the evenings get a little lighter, and so do your coats. When the city gets a little busier, along with your social life. It's wearing a dress again for the first time in months. It's trading your wellies for something cuter. It's when everything starts coming to life again, and it looks fabulous. It's the new range of spring fashion, only to be found in Dublin City Centre. Dublin, make the city yours.
Pass the Dairy Gold, would you, love?
There you go.
Dairy Gold Balance. Our lightest light, is it?
Yeah, I thought we could give it a try.
What are you trying to say?
Huh?
Are you saying I've put on weight or something?
No, not at all. I just thought...
What?
Well, that's, maybe I just want you to stay as gorgeous as you are now.
Lucky. Very, very lucky.
Dairy Gold Balance is whipped for extra lightness and balanced with that great Dairy Gold taste. Dairy Gold Balance, our lightest ever light.
Immerse yourself in Art Ireland's spring collection at the RDS Main Hall. An inspiring array of Irish and international galleries and artists will provide a feast of creative culture, showcasing a large selection of paintings, sculptures, prints and photography. From chic to sublime, or affordable to investment quality pieces. Charity preview evening, Thursday 27th of March, 6 to 9 p.m, admission €20. Open Friday 28th of March to Sunday 30th of March, admission €10. Check the Irish Independent and Art Ireland website for details.
Radio Éireann. The 50s on Radio Éireann started pretty much like the decade itself, dull and grey. But there was some relief on the way. The Irish Hospital Sweepstakes programme offered some popular entertainment every evening at 10:30. But then the station closed down at 11 o'clock, and that's all you got until lunchtime next day, when sponsored programmes took over, one of them giving us the first ever radio jingle in Ireland.
A cleaning and a pressing and a dying for you. We keep a cleaning and a pressing till we make it like new. Info cleaning is the best. If you doubt it's true, just let Info, Info, Info. Clean and press it for you.
In the early 1950s, sponsored programs were extended to the morning time to support an 8 o'clock news bulletin brought on by a newspaper strike. Sponsored programs became an essential part of the sound of Radio Éireann.
Mm-hmm.
Morning music for the past 15 minutes has been presented by Chivers, makers of the famous jellies, jams, marmalade, jelly creams, and custard powder. Don't forget to listen to the other Chivers program on Fridays at 1 o'clock, and of course, we'll be back again on Tuesday next at 8:45.
If you're passing a chemist's shop today, go in and ask to see Gala Face, the new kind of makeup that is powder and base all in one. Gala Face, the newest kind of makeup, comes in the loveliest complexion tints that cleverly mask all small imperfections in your skin and leave it beautifully flawless.
How long does it take you to make a jelly? However quick or slow a worker you are, you'll make jelly faster with Bird's Jelly Deluxe. You see, Bird's Jelly Deluxe is made in two tablets, and each tablet has a honeycomb surface to make the jelly dissolve quickly. So, ask for Bird's Jelly Deluxe. Well, after all, you do want the best, don't you?
Radio Erin was still part of the Department of Posts and Telegraphs and would be so until 1960. It attracted a fair share of creative people, artists, musicians, performers, but nobody was left in any doubt that they still worked for a government department.
Office notice number 953. As some members of the staff are rather lax in the matters of punctuality and signing attendance books, the following points are being brought to the attention of all the staff. Luncheon interval. The authorized luncheon interval for staff working the normal hours of attendance is 1 hour, but officers may, as a matter of grace, be allowed to take not more than 1/4 hour extra. Officers in charge of sections should report to the staff administration officer any case where an officer frequently comes back late from lunch. Breaks for tea or coffee. A break from morning tea or coffee in the GPO dining room is at present allowed as a privilege. The break may have to be withdrawn if the staff continue to absent themselves from their work for unduly long periods. It should be possible for all officers to be back at work within 10 minutes, or at the very outside, 1/4 hour. Breaks for afternoon tea, etc. Breaks will not be permitted except for very special reasons, e.g., on medical advice. Any officer who desires permission to have an afternoon break for the purpose of visiting the dining room should seek the prior approval of the administration officer. Signed, M. O'Doherty, Administration Officer, November 1953.
And then, in 1956, horror of horrors.
Rock and roll had arrived. The film played Dublin in the middle of August to an audience of enthusiastic but eminently respectable devotees of the newest new music.
While another one burned my friends. Two girls gave me my money. Two girls made me my clothes.
But word got around. Before long, in some cinemas, it was the furniture that began to roll and rock. As one cinema manager found out...
It took, I think, about 5 minutes for that crowd to change from being a very good-humoured lot into a collection of blackguards. And, of course, they were all very sorry the following day, and they were all back to apologise, but that didn't remedy the damage that had been done. As in every crowd, a very large crowd... And as in every crowd, there's a small element of outright blackguards who want to use the occasion for wreckage.
But the wreckers are few. Most fans deplore this conduct. You should take rock and roll seriously. It's quite different from just bopping. Let an expert explain.
You've seen the Dixieland band. They'd be doing bopping. If they played rock and roll, they'd do the same steps. There's no difference here. But in England there is. In London now, for instance. I was in London there for a while. And that's why they do rock and roll. And they have the partners in London, rock and roll. And it's really great to watch it. Marvellous. It's the way they do the splits in the air and rolling across the shoulders and all of that, you know, and doing the splits and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
fans say that R&R would cause no trouble if the dance halls would only let it alone. They say suspicion of it colours their mildest activities.
I was thrown out of another dance hall for that. What? For doing the Charleston. I was told there was jiving in it. And, well, as far as I was concerned, it wasn't jiving. It was only just doing the Charleston down there. As I was taught it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they come along and they said, oh, Charleston, not at all. That's not Charleston. He says, that's jiving. And when they tell you that's jiving, well, you can't object to them and you can't say they're wrong because they just tell you out the door.
Well, how about rock and roll? Do you think it's here to stay?
I think it is, and it'll catch on, and catch on fast.
And all right, he was. But then a comedy show arrived in the mid-50s as well, different to anything we'd heard before, an independent production produced outside of Rowdy Warren and built around one of those actors who auditioned for the rep in 1947, Joe Lynch.
And to help the stranded visitor, a new bed bureau was opened in Dublin. Here is a typical customer whom we'll call Cecil.
Excuse me. I say excuse me.
Now, wait a minute. Now, here's the bed Tom Moore slept in.
There is nothing the bureau a bed that's so sweet. And 'tis well known Tom Moore never washed his 2 feet.
Well, I hope they've changed the sheets. I say, I hope they change the seats. I'm very particular.
Yes. Everything must be special for Cecil. Right. Well, look here, for 7 and 6, here's the bed and your breakfast thrown in.
Breakfast thrown in and ruin my nice new spotted nighty. Not on your nanny, I say. Not on your nanny.
Down in Mexico, at each high noon, siesta is the thing. Oh, you can find them sleeping out in the shade while the birds so softly sing. But from a radio there comes a U.S. show and the disc jockey's playing the blues. Before they know what's happened, they're up and clapping to the tune of the blues sway tune. Oh, 1, 2, and then rock. It's the funniest thing ever told. The day that
Living with Lynch, but Joe Lynch and friends had some competition from within the GPO.
Office Notice 257. It has been observed that some members of the staff continue to park their bicycles against the walls of the GPO in Princes Street. Adequate accommodation for staff cycles is available in the cycle shelters in the GPO inner yard. And as this cycle accommodation was provided at considerable expenses for the convenience of the staff, the parking of bicycles against the GPO walls will not be tolerated. The Gardaí have now been requested to take whatever steps they consider necessary to ensure discontinuance of the practice. R. Walsh, Establishment Officer, and Cathal Lá the Martha, Nádia Quigashacht.
Gilligan one fine day.
He got a lot of money from the USA.
All through the death of his Uncle Joe.
He got 1.5 million or so.
Only Gilligan says I'll give the ball.
Down in the old ancestral hall.
Invite the neighbors, everyone.
For to have some music and some rare old fun.
And
we all went down to Mick McGilligan's ball. So they called me in and they said, look, would you host a program of some kind for 6 weeks until we see what we're going to do? So I said yes, and they said, well, they had done research, and funnily enough, they had found out that Irish music was still pretty tops, even though they weren't doing an awful lot of it at the time. And then they got the idea, well, if they could broaden the scope of listening by introducing something a little lighter with it, you know, bringing a few songs, a few gags, a few stories, make it light, humorous, and so on. Now, we moved to a good idea, so this we decided to do. And then we got the great idea of dancing on radio. We borrowed a tap mat from the Theatre Royal. We got Rory O'Connor in the dances, and we worked with 6 foot mics. You know, the foot mic is only about 6 or 7 inches off the ground, and we had 6 foot mics picking up the sound. People really thought they were you know, listening into they were into a Keeley house, you know, that they kind of had their ear to the door, so to speak, you know. And this thing got tremendous publicity. I remember there was the music critic from the Sunday, or the radio critic from the Sunday Times was in Ireland on holidays, and he was coming home on Sunday, and he turned on the radio and he heard this thing. And the following Sunday, he wrote a big piece on the Sunday Times about dancing on Irish radio, you know. Enjoy the show and that you'll join us again. In the meantime, it's cheerio from Michael O'Neill, Francis McDermott, the Broadsiders, Dennis Brennan, Mauro Sullivan, Father Fenton, Albert Healy, the Rory O'Connor Dancers, the Gallo Daskaley Band, our two sound men, John Eames and Harry Bradshaw, producer John Lynch, and yours as always, Dinjo.
Dennis Fitzgibbon, Dinjo, dancing on Irish radio on Take the Floor. Then there was a famous situation comedy.
Not that time, is it? I was sure I set the clock right by the wireless last night. It couldn't have gone so slow in the meantime unless there's something wrong with it. I'll sit down there at the table. I'll get you your breakfast now in a minute.
Oh, you can stop your foot, Alice.
The Foley Family. And a programme utterly unique to Radio Erin, still being produced on television, and it was all Paddy Crosby's idea.
Well, the idea of the school around the corner came originally from this, a school by act that I used to do. I was the original school by, as the fella said. I used to dress up and portray a fella called Mucky Dunn. And actually, I was using the nickname of a lad who had been in school with me. But when the major series started, we were looking for a signature tune. So they decided to use the very same signature tune that I used in the single school by act. And it was Micheál O'Hay and Seamus Caivanagh who introduced it to radio. Seamus saw something in it because he had been a teacher himself, and God knows there was no greater character than Seamus. We did a run of six in the beginning, and the first school we did was my own school, North Brunswick Street, Brunner as we call it, and we recorded it at another school together. It was a howling success. It was a winner right from the start. In fact, I can claim to be the first fellow in Radio Erin to give free speech to kids.
And we all dashed home from school at lunchtime to hear the exploits of Ireland's first radio family.
Fry Cadbury present the Kennedys of Castle Ross. The makers of Cadbury's wonderful drinking chocolate present another episode in the life of Ireland's popular radio family.
Good evening, Father.
Would you give me an ounce of the usual?
Sure, Father.
And a box of matches, too. I don't want to have the same trouble tonight.
Trouble, Father?
I ran out of matches in the middle of the night. Had to make me round to the factory sucking on an unlit pipe.
Ah, sure, that's too bad, Father.
Never felt so frustrated in all my life. It was like trying to smell a flower with a clothes peg on me nose.
Well, tonight you'll have matches. Here you are.
That's 2 and 3 pence halfpenny, isn't it?
Oh, would you ever excuse me for a minute, Father?
I get it, Mom. Hello? Yes?
Here's a half a crown.
Thank you, Father. I'll get you your change.
Yes, Aunt Nora. Which hospital did you say? Yes? Yes?
Here you are, Father.
Thank you.
Knocked down by a car.
Oh, God help us.
What's that, Mrs. Kennedy?
Nothing, Pather.
But how did it happen?
Well, time for me to be going. Good night, Mrs. Kennedy.
Good night, Pather. How badly is she hurt?
She doesn't know. All she could find out was that Ellen was hit by a car and she's at St. Mark's.
Oh, the poor child. I've got to get to her right away.
No, Ma, I'll drive up. I'll ring you as soon as I find out how she is.
No, I'm going.
A mother's place is with her daughters at a time like this.
But there's no sense in both of us going.
Look, you have to work tonight, son. There's a 6 o'clock train for Dublin, and it'll get me there faster than you can drive.
But, Ma...
No, Brian. That promotion is important. Don't worry, no. Just tell Christy to take care of the shop when he comes in.
What will Mrs. Kennedy find in Dublin? Is Ellen seriously injured? Be with us on Tuesday next at 1 o'clock when Fry Cadbury, makers of Cadbury's Dairy Milk Chocolate, present episode 2 of The Kennedys of Castle Ross.
Now it's 9:15 and time for the Phillips program with Dennis Brennan.
I know, Bertie, that in your part of the country the Easter eggs have shells. But did you have to fill the shells you sent to me with TNT? Soft April showers bring forth May flowers, and I could rhyme for hours and hours. Instead, I'll just announce the Phillips Show. And about time, too.
Dennis Brennan, who also featured on the Smash Hit program on Sunday lunchtime, Don't Look Now, with Maureen Potter.
Shorten the arms, Jim.
Yes, Agatha.
Oh!
The arms of the coat, Jim, not the third. Finish there, sir. Oh, it's blown up.
Let me see in the mirror. What's that lump up the back?
Oh, milk, Jim, we're finished.
I'll just slip it off and have a good look at it. I'm very particular about this coat, you know.
Yes, sir. Scrutinize this with an intense screw, sir.
The buttons seem to be very tight. What's this? Idiot woman. Look what you've done. You've sewn up the front. I can't get it off.
Jan!
Yes, Agnes?
There's no way out.
No, Agnes.
So rip it up, Jan! Rip it up!
For the past half hour, you've been tearing around with Maureen Potter, Brendan O'Dowda, Pat Lay, Dennis Brennan, Sheila Ward, Chris Lamb and the Sky Masters, and the Radio Aeronight Orchestra. Don't Look Now was written by Dermot Doolan and Michael McGarry, with additional material by Jack O'Leary, and the show was produced by Fred O'Donovan.
Then in 1958, a debut from a young Dubliner casting his eye around Hoth.
And finally, a brief report on Operation Eyedrop, which took place yesterday when a light plane from Western Aerodrome, flown by members of the Irish Parachute Club, made a practice supplies drop on the island of Ireland's Eye off Howth Head. At the aerodrome, Gay Byrne talked about the drop with Noel O'Beara.
What are you dropping, Noel, today?
Well, we're dropping various types of foodstuffs, that is, solid food and drink, and we're also dropping a watch.
Yes.
And we're dropping containers which would normally hold whole blood or plasma.
And this is what the actual drop looked like.
Well, George O'Donoghue in the Auster has just come around twice to the island with two parachutes and dropped them extremely well. Very, very good shooting on the part of Michael O'Gallan, who's throwing them out. And he's coming in for his third one now. And there it is, a yellow parachute just coming straight down. And I think it's dead on the target once again. Do you think so, boys? Would you say it's... I think it's dead on target straight again. He's just pulling away from the island now, and the parachute is coming down almost right on the signal flame, which Noel O'Beara has put on the island. And there it is, right down beside the church, the ancient church on Ireland's Eye. That's it. She's down, and George O'Donoghue pulls away.
Well done, George!
And Gay was out in Howth again shortly afterwards, holding the tape recorder for Joe Linane, as Joe brought the 50s and a chapter in Dublin history to a close.
I'm sitting on top of old number one, the first car that ever ran on the Howth tramways 58 years ago, and feeling rather nostalgic and sad about the closing of the old Howth tramway. I'm up here on top on the glorious May Day, sitting on my own. There's one small boy passenger down below, Tom the driver, and Willie the conductor. Rolling along here at a nice, steady pace, approaching the summit. Feeling rather sad, like all the residents, from Hoth up to the summit and down to Sutton. Just feeling as sad as they are about the closing of the old Hoth tramway. To my left here, there's the Bailey Lighthouse, a coaster carving its delicious way through a very calm sea. And the prospect in the distance of perhaps a cup of tea or a glass of something at the inn at the top of the summit, which we are now fast approaching. Did I say fast approaching? Slowly approaching, deliciously, charmingly, wonderfully approaching. That is something that Dubliners, Irelanders, and foreigners are going to miss in just a few days' time. As one lady said, progress must go on. The Hoth tram has to go. What a pity. But it's pulling to a stop at this moment. There is the inn. Lounges, bars written on it, tea rooms, ice creams. Progress has come to the summit. And the old Hoth tram has to go.
Hallo hier, reguliere gordje. Kid me de font erop, goed chalky shady. And for our music in Kenny House here tonight, we travel westward across the Shannon to the broad and friendly county of Galway, with its low stone walls and fuchsia hedges and trees leaning from west to east before the prevailing wind. Lough Corrib drives its wedge deep into the county of Galway, separating Irish-speaking Connemara with its indented coastline, its merry rivers and rivulets and lakelets, and its ranging mountains from the great plain of Connacht stretching eastwards to the banks of the Shannon. Now, only a few miles from the middle reaches of the Corrib lies Hetford, and from Hetford comes tonight to Kelly House the Matt Cunningham Kelly Band, playing for us now here reels, the Fox Hunter, the Kilmaley Reel, and a trip to Sligo.
The ever-popular Kelly House with the ever-popular Farrelly Sean O'Marco. But for younger listeners to the Irish station, well, there was very little indeed to grab their ears. They worked their way along the medium wave towards 208 metres.
For all that's worthwhile, your radio dial is on Radio Luxembourg.
This is Radio Luxembourg, the great 208.
We spent our nights trying to tune to Radio Luxembourg through the medium wave, the static and the fading. And when we did hear the radio, we heard radio that sounded totally different.
Fans, wherever you are. Once again, it's time for another roundup of all your favorite British and American recording artists, brought to you by the Decca Record Company for your special delight tonight. Oh, excuse me, madam.
Yes?
I work for Luxembourg, you see.
Oh, I am sorry. I'm afraid I can't help you.
No. I was hoping you'd play chaperone to this young fellow.
Hi there, guys and gals. Welcome to Warner Brothers Record Show. The first name in pictures brings you the first name in sound, and here's going to be the big one.
Don't want you.
The Warner Brothers label, yet again from the Everly Brothers, and for your popmakers, that's the record night tonight, so remember, it's tomorrow night at 9. All right? Right. And that means good night.
And
And that's my cue to remind you, honey, that this is where we have to fade out on this session of Honey Hit Parade. Be sure to keep our next 208 date with Music the Sweet Way and the Beatway, courtesy of Fleetway and their hit magazine, Honey. So on behalf of my producers, Roy Tuvey and Maurice Seller, this is Kent Walton saying take care and hear us again.
But the only place we could get Music the Sweet Way and the Beatway was on the Donnelly program with Niall Bowden and his famous catchphrase.
Hello there. To be sure, it's the talk of the nation. The sausage is excitingly new, so new it's caused a sensation, and Donnelly's make it for you. I can remember the words, but I can't sing it. And the closing was by now. I thought it had a double meaning, B-Y-E now and B-U-Y now. So that's why we ended with by now.
Frankie Byrne with another edition of Woman's Page, a program for maybe about you. Now, the problems I'll be discussing today may not be yours, but they could be someday. At all events, Woman's Page draws us material from the lives and events of real people. And it comes to you now with the compliments of Jacobs, the biscuit makers.
This is the Walton Programme, your weekly reminder of the grace and beauty that lie in our heritage of Irish song, the songs our fathers loved. And today we want to send greetings and good wishes to all our listeners everywhere. First we turn north with Charlie McGee and the Homes of Donegal.
I've just called in to see you all, I'll only stay a while. I want to see how you're getting on. I want to see you smile. I'm happy to be back again, and I greet you big and small. For there's no place else on earth just like the homes of Donegal.
Sports Parade, your Monday morning excursion into the realms of sport, presented by the makers of Vaseline brand hair cream, the hair cream that is moisturized to dress your hair the way you want it.
Hello, everybody, and a very good morning. And this is Michael O'Hare bringing you this morning's edition of Sports Parade. This week will be interesting in the world of racing because on Wednesday it shall be my pleasure once again to be the commentator on television racing, the second occasion on which racing in Ireland has been put on television live. The venue, Down Royal, and on the BBC we shall be bringing you two of the races of that day. It should be interesting. The first episode in the story of Irish racing television last year proved quite popular, hence this effort now to repeat the performance.
That was Michael O'Hare in February 1961. Later that year, he had his own television sports department to play with when he was appointed head of sport on Telefish Éireann. Eamon Andrews was the chairman. He had promised it would be on the air by the end of that year, and it was on the last day, New Year's Eve. Radio captured the drama of that opening night as director Ernest Byrne, Gay's brother, called the shots.
Stand by captions on one. Stand by Telecine, please.
Telecine standing by.
Thank you. 45 seconds. I'll do a countdown at 10. 30 seconds. 30 seconds to air. Focus in on camera one, please. 15 seconds to air. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're on the air. Caption up. Roll the national anthem. Stand by sound on film. Take it, sound. 1 minute and 28 seconds to the president's speech.
Welcome
looks very good. 1 minute to president's speech. We dissolve to camera one on the caption before speech. It'll be 5 seconds in absolute silence. 30. 30. Stand by for supering the flag on camera two on the last shot of the anthem. Four shots to go. Last shot is up. Super 2 on the flag. Ready caption on one. Fading out, fade in one. Stand by president's speech.
I have great hopes in this new service. I am confident that those who are in charge will do everything in their power to make it useful for the nation. But I will bear in mind that we are an old nation and that we have our own distinctive characteristics.
Then at last, possibly because it was now a fairly independent organisation, Radio Erin introduced some new pop shows, like the Top Ten in October 62 with Harry Thulier.
3rd of October 1962, number 10, It'll Be Me, Cliff Richard. Number 9, Spanish Harlem, Jimmy Justice. Number 8, Adios Amigo, Jim Reeves. Number 7, Roses Are Red, Ronnie Carroll. 6, Sheila, Tommy Rowe. 5, Venus in Blue Jeans, Mark Winter. 4, Wolverton Mountain, Claude King. 3, Things by Bobby Darin. And 2, You Don't Know Me, Ray Charles. And now, number 1 on the charts, She's Not You by Elvis Presley.
Her hair is soft and her eyes are oh so blue. She knows just how to make me laugh when I feel blue. She's everything man could want, but she's not you.
Yes, welcome again to the 17 sub, coming to you as always from the O'Connell Hall in Dublin. 45 minutes of the big beat, some of the week's new pop record releases and requests for listeners near and far. That's all wrapped up in the next 45 minutes or so. And today we say hello for the first time on the air from Dublin, the Air Chord.
And this is Larry Gogan here with Pop Cole. Tonight, we're playing requests for people whose surnames begin with the letter O. Just phone our numbers, 47728, 47728, or 48618, 48618. I give you a message to Maureen or Mary, and we'll do our best to include it. And our first one comes from Pod and goes to Rita Kilkelly, wishing her well tonight. I beg your pardon, it's not Pod, it's P-O-D. We have a good one picked out for him. It comes from Nazareth and is called Bad, Bad Boy.
Pop Call, recorded from Medium Wave with Larry Gogan. Well, no one caught the spirit of the 60s more than the youthful president of the USA elected in 1960. From Washington, John F. Kennedy sent a special message to Radio Erin.
14 years ago this summer, I visited New Ross and saw the home where over 110 years ago my great-grandfather had journeyed in his long voyage from Ireland to America. 3 generations have passed since then, but across this long time and across the sea, I send to all of you my very best wishes.
And then in 1963, he was here in person. One of the radio commentators was Terry Wogan.
And now he's standing up, he's waving, he's smiling warmly. If there was any
sign of that back injury. There's no sign of it now. He's full of energy, looking bronzed and fit, smiling, big white smile under his patch of brown hair. And now they're throwing all sorts of what would be in Wall Street ticker tape, but I'm sure here is only CIE bus rolls. And the crowd are attempting to encroach on to the road to shake President Kennedy by the hand. He has this crowd of people running alongside the car that are adding to the crowd. Now they've broken the police cordon, but they're being held off by the motorcycle escort. And President Kennedy, as I lean out this window to get a better view, waving to the crowd, smiling. And they wave back, throw confetti, streamers, flags. And here's the Ron Aaron De Valera, sitting quietly, smiling no less warmly at his people.
Faramids, Fearchin Falterov, Conhedo Reeve, like Doyle Aaron. We welcome you for the first time in the history of this state, in the history of Doyle Aaron, and in the history of Radio Aaron, to a joint session of Shannon Aaron and Doyle Aaron to hear the address of President Kennedy of the United States of America.
And no country contributed more to building my own than your sons and daughters. They came to our shores in a mixture of hope and agony. And I would not underrate the difficulties of their course once they arrived in the United States. They left behind hearts, fields, and a nation yearning to be free. It is no wonder that James Joyce described the Atlantic as a bowl of bitter tears. And an earlier poet wrote, "They are going, 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 and we cannot bid them stay." But today, this is no longer the country of hunger and famine that those immigrants left behind. It is not rich, and its progress is not yet complete. But it is, according to statistics, one of the best-fed countries in the world. Nor is it any longer a country of persecution, political or religious. It is a free country, and that is... And that is why any American feels at home.
The commentary in Doyle Aaron was by Dennis Meehan, the studio supervisor of Radio Aaron, my boss at the time. He dispensed with the slight stuffiness of earlier times and introduced a more informal approach.
A voice says to the Radio Television Aaron telephone switchboard at Henry Street, "What year was the Battle of the Boyne?" Well, we've been a long time in broadcasting now. 40 years, isn't it? So we no longer express surprise. During broadcasting hours, especially at night, it's 10 to 1 that switch will put that kind of call through to supervisor, or failing that, the announcer on continuity duty. I actually got that particular one about the Battle of the Boyne. Caller said, "The way it was, me and a friend were having a bit of an argument." "Me? You weren't having a bet by any chance?" Caller, "Well, we were. "When did you say it was?" The caller said, "Ah, no, play fair now. We agreed that we'd agree to anything you'd say." I explained, "Listen, I'm not an expert at all in this, but I do know, as it happens, that it was 1690. And the caller said, "Good man yourself, that's great. Good luck now." Well, it's quite true what I said to this caller. We're not a telephone information service. Knowing my colleagues and their often startling expertise in the most abstruse of contexts, I have no doubt at all that we could maintain such a service if it weren't for the irritating interruptions caused by having to prepare and get out the programs. But who'd be talking formally about regulations to a man who wants to collect 5 bob in a pub from another man who is either right or wrong about the date of the Battle of the Boyne? There are times, of course, when the shot just isn't on the board. It must happen that the faith people have in our omniscience must, again, I insist, especially at night, be occasionally misplaced. But even more likely, it may often, very often, be that we have other things to do, such as broadcasting, for instance. In continuity, it can and does happen that we'll have to say to a caller, "Excuse me now, I have to make an announcement." This has the gratifying effect of dumbfounding some callers. When the announcement is heard, both on the radio and faintly on the still live telephone simultaneously, it at least engenders the conviction that we are at work. I think every broadcaster worthy of the name would agree that in all situations,
we must have as our fundamental working basis the fact that we're providing a service to the public. This means that supervisors on duty and announcers must be at all times patient, courteous, cheerful. But none of these obligations can come between us and our duty to attend to the primary service we're providing, the broadcast of Radio Television's programs. That said, I should be very sorry to miss this immediate link with you that the telephone often provides. Even if occasionally I have to tell someone that, no, I'm very sorry, I can't audition him or her in singing over the telephone, I cannot allow that to blot out the fact that a man once rang me from Liverpool to check on the spelling of a word. In the human condition, glory such as this cannot be lightly forgone.
Dennis Meehan, my mentor and friend, from a programme by Norris Davidson celebrating radio's 40th birthday in 1966. It also contains the earliest recording of me as a station announcer, sounding a little on the solemn side, I must admit, but do notice the change in name.
When that's heard in the evening, it's often used to check the watch that will measure off the time to an appointment next day. In the morning, it opens the day's broadcasting.
Radio Television. Mori of a margin rochle, new on Luan, and Donna Law Day, the Vinanolog Law Ela Nave Inian. Good morning, everyone, on the morning of Monday, the 12th of December, the feast of Saint Finian. The time signal was for 8 o'clock.
From then on, the time will be announced during the morning programmes, both formally and informally, to remind people getting to work that time is passing.
In more ways than one.
Ah, those fabulous Westmen, things get better.
All right, then. Anybody, any suggestions for the program?
Well, let's run up the flag and see if anybody salutes, eh? Out with the dance diaries. These are the dates and the places for the freshmen. Tomorrow night, it's Virginia. On Thursday, Seapoint Ballroom in Galway. On Friday, Strand Hill, Derry. On Saturday night, Black Rock Dundalk on Sunday. And this night week, you can hear and groove to the freshmen in the Arcadia Cork.
May I have this dance?
Well, I'm a little stiff from bowling.
I don't care where you're from. Let's dance.
Let's go with the band.
Abby.
The Wolf Tone.
And radio-sponsored programs are certainly getting a bit louder. That was Terry Wogan and Frank Kelly. Then in 1968, round-the-clock radio closed the gaps in the daily schedule. I mean, I provided an all-day service about time, too. One of the new programs was Music on the Move. One of the regular presenters was Valerie McGovern.
You're listening to Music on the Move. I mentioned at the beginning of the programme that this programme came on the air originally at the beginning of November 1968, and I was talking about the fact that the Irish Times main story on the 1st of November was that the USA had halted the Vietnam bombing. Further down on the page on that day, we find that extradition treaties are on against Sean Burke, who was thought to have helped the spy, George Blake, to escape from Wormwood Scrubs prison. Incidentally, the Irish Times cost sevenpence. Yes, 7D. We hadn't gone decimal in 1968. And of course, as everybody says, over a certain age, that was when the rot set in.
Hi there, popsters. You'll be glad to hear. I've a show on Thursday that'll bring you cheer. Charts and new releases, hits from overseas.
This is marvellous, really, Larry.
Just a Gogan, Mr. B.
It's an RTE. It's RTE. Remember, it's a radio and not TV. Get the best sounds of pop and what you crave. We're on VHS. Medium wave.
Well, the The bright spot on Mondays, I have no doubt, will be when I do my thing and let it all hang out. With show bands and the beat groups and the new LPs.
On the wireless, is it, Brendan?
On the belt beat, Mr. G.
It's on RTE, RTE. Remember, it's a radio and not TV. It's the best sounds of pop, I watch you play. We're on VHS.
I'd like to get a word in, if I might. I'll be doing Pop Call every Wednesday night. And on Fridays, I'll have Country Style for Western fans.
You mean you'll have two shows?
Well, damn the plan.
It's on RTE, RTE. Remember, it's a radio...
Groovy, eh? Then radio kept developing. Radio Llangeitha went on the air, and eventually in 1973, the radio centre opened here in the verdant grasslands of Montrose, one-time home of Marconi, the radio pioneer. The last broadcast from the GPL studios was on Monday the 8th, November 1976. Earlier on, we introduced VHF, and stereo broadcasting followed. You could almost follow the sound with your eyes. That's what the LP said, anyway. One of the last announcements from the GPO was from Tressa Davison.
And that was a stereophonic broadcast. Now the time is 8 o'clock and here at the... I beg your pardon. I'm terribly sorry. Now the time is... I better apologise. It's just the fact that a mouse ran across my desk. Here now at 8 o'clock are the news headlines from Don Coburn.
This is RTE Radio 2. It's 23 minutes to 1 o'clock. And to present Pop Around Ireland, here is Larry Gogan.
Thank you very much indeed, Brendan, and welcome to the first show on Radio 2.
Although some people thought that a certain hooligan element had been let into the building.
If this was on television, this would be quite amazing. The only person without his top off at the moment is the Edge. Everybody else has their clothes off in the studio in terms of trousers. And in fact, Edge has nothing on from the waist down.
And not too. So what about Dave Banning there? Yeah. I noticed you're wearing a pretty psychedelic pair of undies yourself.
All right, this is getting ridiculous. Ronan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good man. Hi, yourself. We can hear you loud and clear. Fire away.
What's the most your favourite U2 song you've ever performed on stage?
The Lost Highway is our favourite U2 song.
Give us a few verses there, Edge.
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. For a life of sin, I've paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, just another guy on the lost highway.
As Radio 2 opened, Radio Erin became RTE Radio 1, and the programmes kept on coming, and some of them eventually ended.
And that's the way things happen. 1858, 5444. Not only that, but what is going on here?
Mr. Byrne, guess who your guest for the next hour and three quarters is? I know you're hoping.
Oh, no.
I know you're hoping I'm going to say it's me, but it's not.
Oh, no.
It isn't me at all. And, Gay, here you are, resplendent in the good green jumper.
My good green jumper.
And there's a little something organized for you. And I know this is all your worst nightmares come to call.
Yes, it is. Gay, what are you at this morning? What
I'm going to take you now,
doing?
And I'm going to spirit you away to Studio One.
I met him just now.
There are two or three people in Studio One, and they wish to see you. And they wish to say a few words to you and about you.
In Studio One,
so organize your solicitor, and away we go. Come on, Gabriel.
We have to do this.
Go.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I thought there was something.
I know.
Scary. I got to vaguely. Come on.
What's going on?
then the years seemed to fly by. Openings and closings, Gay Byrne said goodbye after 25 years of the GB show. Radio 2 ran 24 hours and changed its name to 2FM. And Maxi closed down RTE Radio 1 for the last time.
Shinjera la clorica don leanu o RTE Radio ahen. Poimage eg skorowinish the nur yeranok. August, nur a hyokami the rash eglahur thresha shayer margin. Bemi deg phonok live gunstad gunstaina. Gujishin, Ihawahagiv, Kolosov, August Roth Dayariv. So we've come to the end of broadcasting for today from RTE Radio 1. We're closing down now for the last time, because when we return at 6:30 in the morning, we shall be staying on the air as Radio 1 begins the first day of 24-hour broadcasting. So, on behalf of all the announcers and presenters who signed off Irish radio during the last 70 years, this is Maxi, wishing you a very good night. Do sleep well, and may God bless you.
Hanum kun day, but there it is, the dawn on the hills of Ireland, God's angels lifting the night's black veil from the fair sweet face of my sire land. Oh, Ireland, isn't it grand you look, like a bride in her rich adornin'? With all the pent-up love of my heart, I bid you the top of the morning. And ho, upon Cliona's shelving strand, the surges are grandly beating, and Kerry is pushing her headlands out to give us the kindly greeting. Into the shore the seabirds fly on pinions that know no drooping, and out from the cliffs with welcomes charged a million of waves come trooping. And doesn't old Cove look charming there, watching the wild waves' motion, leaning her back up against the hills and the tip of her toes in the ocean? I wonder I don't hear Shandon bells. Ah, maybe their chiming's over, for it's many a year since I began the life of a western rover. For 30 summers a storm o' cree, those hills I now feast my eyes on, ne'er met my vision save when they rose over memory's dim horizon. Even so 'twas grand and fair they seemed in the landscape spread before me, but dreams are dreams, and my eyes would hope to see Texas skies still o'er me. Now fuller and truer the shoreline shows. Was ever a scene so splendid? I feel the breath of the Munster breeze. Thank God my exile's ended. Old scenes, old songs, old friends again. The vale and the cot I was born in. O Ireland, up from my heart of hearts, I bid you the top of the morning.
The voice of Ciarán MacMahona. In the last 82 years, 2RN has become Radio Éireann and then RTE Radio 1. From medium wave to VHF to stereo to FM to long wave to satellite to the web to digital audio broadcasting. I hope this program has reminded you of just how far we've come.
It was an ancient wireless set that languished in our attic. Its dial was dim, its valves were dead, its knobs were quite rheumatic. I twiddled them and fiddled them like Grandad did in yesteryear. And then an old forgotten sound came faintly to my ear.
Radio Éireann.
You've read the book, now you can go and see the film.
Good morning and welcome. Today, the Irishman who was climate change advisor to Al Gore.
Good afternoon, one and all. Welcome. It's Ronan Collins, early lunchtime music on RTE Radio 1 between now and 1 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon, where I find myself in my perch in the Dundrum Town Centre.
And our text number is 51551 and joe@rte.ie is the email. Michelle Hayde, good afternoon.
Thanks very much indeed. Joe, on Mooney today, Chef Kevin Dundon is looking for amateur chefs who want to star with him in his new TV series.
Thanks, Derek, and good afternoon and welcome to Drive Time. Today, a Sligo journalist tells us that yesterday's raids in the county by the Criminal Assets Bureau were 10 years too late.
In a short while, at 3 o'clock, the medium wave transmitter at Tullamore would close down for good. Many will miss the sound of the medium wave signal and its familiar place on the radio dial. But if it affects you, there are many other ways to get RTE Radio 1 on FM, long wave, the internet, or digital audio broadcasting. There are details in the current RTE guide. The last tune on medium wave is one that's been synonymous with Radio Erin for many years and is strangely exactly the same age. Composed in 1926, it somehow caught the warmth, the heart of Irish radio, as it connected people through hospitals' requests for many years. So wherever you're listening, I hope you always will have someone to watch over you. And with someone to watch over you, we wish you well. Now, at the time check, RTE Radio 1 medium wave will close down.